content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
8 a.m. Central Time, Thursday, May 11, 2023. Dave Krieger, thank you so much for joining us. We have seen a big pushback on what is called environmental, social, and governance movement. It's called ESG for short. Many of you, of course, are in the know because you've been reading that and paying attention to the articles out there. Oklahoma, by the way, has become the latest state to push back against this kind of movement, compiling a list of 13 Wall Street firms it claims are discriminating against the fossil fuel industry, and they're no longer going to be permitted to do business with state entities or pensions. I know that Louisiana and West Virginia have joined in the fight. Florida also this week enacted anti-ESG measures that ban banks from using ESG-type criteria to discriminate against customers and ban the use of ESG criteria when investing state money. So this year alone, states have already drawn up nearly 100 anti-ESG industry bills, and this basically runs contrary to everything that our government and this climate change bunch is pushing like crazy. And you've got states out there like New York, California, Illinois, and Maryland actively supporting ESG in their pension funds and state contracts, and you wonder why they're having so many financial issues. Kevin Stockland has been on the show with us before, and he's talking about states fighting back against the ESG industry, but at what price? Kevin, welcome to the show again.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, so what's the latest take on all of this stuff? Is it futile fighting them, or are they going to win this thing, or are we actually going to push back hard enough that they are going to wake up and pay attention? What's it going to take?
The states are getting pushback on their efforts to fight ESG. We're getting reports from Standard & Poor's, a rating agency, from Wharton Business School, and they're saying that this could cost states hundreds of millions of dollars in additional cost, issue municipal debt, if they try to take on Wall Street. So they are increasingly telling these states that there's going to be a cost if you push back against Wall Street and if you try to fight against ESG. In the face of that, I would say a lot of states remain pretty determined because they feel that their essential industries, whether that's energy, you know, all the jobs that provides, the cost of electricity, et cetera, all of that's at stake for them. And so they're really caught between a rock and a hard place here. But it seems that they're determined to push forward.
Right. Now, see, one report we're hearing claims that state pension funds or other powerful players in at least five Republican-controlled states, instead of creating excellence, these new culture war policies are interfering with the market, could cost pensioners and taxpayers billions. There's also the case of Texas, which passed laws to boycott banks that were discriminating against fossil fuels. As a result, the cities are going to pay an additional $303 million to $532 million in interest on $32 billion in bonds. But the thing is, I mean, do we have to just solely depend on Wall Street?
Well, so this is one of the issues that we're seeing with the consolidation of the banking system. So we now have, you know, only four major banks in the U.S. that do a lot of underwriting of municipal debt. And so the power is so concentrated in so few banks today that they are able, you know, they're all on board with ESG. They're all big supporters of it. And they're able to arm twist, you know, these red states to going along. Before the financial crisis, we had Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, Credit Suisse just went under. Merrill Lynch got bought by Bank of America. So we're seeing major banks and investment banks disappear and really tremendous consolidation in that area. As far as the states, they have to contend not only with banks that are underwriting their muni bonds, but also the asset managers who are managing their pension funds and their state money. And what they're saying is they're going to find it much easier to replace the asset managers like BlackRock, because there's a ton more competition in that space. But the banking industry is so consolidated that some states are now passing laws that say, hey, if it's going to shoot ourselves in the foot and cost us tons of money, we're going to give these banks a little bit more time to come around. And so they're giving some flexibility to agencies to continue to use ESG banks for the time being in some cases.
Wow. And see, you and I both studied this American mortgage crisis. You did the production of We All Fall Down. It's a 2008 documentary on the collapse of the mortgage finance system. But right now, we still literally are into the quadrillion of investments in security, secondary securities, are we not?
Well, you're talking about the control that they now have over securities?
Well, I'm basically talking about all these CDOs and things that were featured on The Big Short and Inside Job and all these other movies that came out that basically is what caused Bear Stearns and Goldman Sachs. I mean, Goldman Sachs was selling this crap to people knowing, I mean, they sold it to Credit Suisse and other people like this, knowing this stuff was toxic in the first place. And so they've got all of these securities, and I don't know how many people understand the whole concept without even watching the movie The Big Short. I mean, literally watching all these actors like Anthony Bourdain talking about fish stew and how he can take little pieces of one tranche, couple them together with another tranche, and throw all yesterday's leftovers, and now, voila, I've got a new tranche. I got a new security I can sell. I mean, this is the garbage that they played on the system, and we still have judges out there in our justice system that have corrupted and been corrupted into believing that their pensions are tied into these securities. And if we allow any homeowner fighting foreclosure to come in and say, hey, it's not going to matter whether or not the security fails or not, they're all insured. Have you seen, Judge, the number of investor lawsuits out there against these hedge funds that knew damn well that they were going to fail, but yet they insured them on the back end? This is what forced AIG out of business to have to get $185 billion worth of bailout from the government, right?
Well, that's correct. And I would say the lesson that the banks took away from this is two things. One, you play ball with the government and they'll be happy to let you consolidate and have a oligopolistic position over the market, which we're seeing today. And two, you play ball with the left and you get all of the Wall Street protesters off your back. And so those are the two things that the banks have done. They've accepted the left-wing ideology, and they're basically doing what the government tells them, whether it's surveillance or anti-fossil fuel policy or whatever. And this allows them to essentially have amazing consolidated control that they could have only dreamed of before 2008.
Wow. Now, you produced, speaking of all this surveillance and stuff, you produced a new movie called The Shadow State, which discusses the impact on the world market. This woke state of mind obviously has something to do with the shadow state. The media is being programmed. Obviously, you covered these things in the documentary. Tell me more about that.
Well, the shadow state refers to this new partnership between the government and the corporate sector. And it is a lot of give and take. So what the corporate sector gets, whether it's banks, whether it's big tech, social media, whatever, they get the government to look the other way whenever they behave like monopolies, whenever they take care of competition and consolidate their power. And what they give in return is they do things for the government that the government is not legally able to do. So, for example, we see social media companies, Google, Facebook, and, formerly Twitter, less so today, censoring American speech, censoring America's political speech, censoring American social speech. The government is not legally allowed to do this, but social media companies do this. As far as the financial sector, you're seeing banks and credit card companies, payment services like PayPal. They're starting to track payments on behalf of the government. So, for example, credit card companies agreed to start tracking purchases of guns and ammunition and things like that and hand that over to the government, even though the government is prohibited from keeping gun registries. You saw Bank of America data mining their customers after January 6th to see who traveled to D.C., who might have purchased a firearm before that, and handing over those customers' information to the federal government. None of this has a warrant, so all of it violates the Fourth Amendment. So this is what corporations are doing on government's behalf, and that's the devil's bargain today, and we call that the shadow state. It's a new form of government that is coming out of this government and private collaboration.
How long is this documentary, just out of curiosity?
It runs an hour and 20 minutes.
Did people watch this get the hell scared out of them? I mean, you talk about violation of the Fourth Amendment. which, see, now this is exactly what most of my listeners know out there. And if you have a question for Kevin Stockland and you're really worried about the surveillance state, which we definitely are under, because, I mean, like we've said and other people have said on the show, that once you kill freedom of speech, that's when the real killing starts, because freedom of speech basically protects all the other amendments out there. And when they ban that, the Second Amendment is the only thing you're going to have be able to rely on. And, you know, given what happened on last night's CNN town hall with President Trump being asked whether he's going to impose gun control, I mean, this is just the next step, is trying to get these politicians to do something that you now have told my listeners, which a lot of them already understand. This is what this corporatocracy is doing, is stuff the government can't legally get away with. And I mean, there's got to be, what other truth bombs can you let loose of in this show?
Well, you know, I would say the biggest impediment to this movement, to the ESG movement and the shadow state, is the U.S. Constitution. It's our system of federalism, that states have rights over things like law enforcement and education policy and things like this. But it's also the fact that we have a separation of powers, that the Constitution says that on things, major things like energy policy, like social justice, we create laws through elected officials in Congress. And progressives hate this. They want it all done through the executive, through unelected agencies. And to the extent that they get blocked by our Constitution, by our system of government, they are now turning to corporations to do what they, the few things that they're not able to get done through the administration.
You know, I know if I had Ellen Brown on this show, she would be sitting there saying, look, we just need to set up public banks and talk about, because she's the president of the Public Banking Institute. And you get stuff like that going on, like the Bank of North Dakota. Are these banks, you know, that are state banks, they're chartered in the state and they're very successful. If every state did this, we spend so much time and our tax dollars in the states here enforcing federal mandates. This is something that we've realized in Texas, which has basically been the hinge pin for the Texit movement down here, to basically say, hey, we need to have a vote to decide whether or not we actually want to continue to be a state or be back in our own republic again, pre-entry into the union, per se. I mean, the states, they're finding all these different ways of fighting back. They don't understand, or they do understand, I mean, what the financial implications are.
Well, you know, the states are just waking up to this. This really is a movement on the pushback side. The ESG movement's been going on since 2005. The states have only started pushing back over the last 2 years. So they're really learning this as they go, and they're doing several things. One, they're boycotting woke banks. Two, they are firing pension managers that discriminate against fossil fuels and other industries. But they're also bringing antitrust lawsuits. And this is actually, all of this ESG movement is illegal under U.S. antitrust law. The fact that they get together once a year at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, or they join these clubs like Climate Action or Net Zero Asset Managers Alliance, all these clubs that they join that target fossil fuels and other unfavored industries, that's all illegal. It's illegal to collude, for companies to collude against other companies or other industries. We unfortunately don't have an attorney general in the White House that's interested to enforce U.S. law in this respect. But you are seeing state attorney generals start to do it. And you may be seeing Congress, now that that's GOP controlled, you may be seeing some antitrust action coming out of them. And I think this currently is probably the best hope to take this movement down a peg.
And that's all Title 15 stuff, which a lot of people just flat out don't understand what antitrust is all about. But the thing is it's almost like a monopoly that's based around climate change is what this whole thing basically boils down to, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a cabal, and you know, it is they're behaving like a syndicate, and you know, joining together with the same goals. This is something that companies are prohibited from doing. And again, this flies in the face of everything that the country was built on. That the market, as we understand it, is free exchange of labor and goods and capital. It's not about big monopolistic companies getting together and enforcing their will on the population. So this is the clash of systems. It is our constitutional republic against the ESG movement and the progressive movement.
So now, you were a former investment banker, so you know the inside straight in this thing, which is why you were able to talk about 2008 so eloquently. The thing is I monitored all of this too, which is why I wrote the book Clouded Titles, which is available at the Power Mall. And when I wrote this, I had no idea that federal judges, bankruptcy trustees, and other people in hierarchy and government were going to be reading my book, just like, you know, nobody knew about The Big Short until it came out people started reading the book, then they saw the movie, then they started to put two and two together. But you were already inside of this thing, and you already saw this thing collapsing when Lehman Brothers and, I mean, literally in late 2007, the domino effect happened. Now, is ESG has nothing to do with propping up in our default, our prospective default? Is this all just nothing but horse patootie, this default coming up? Or are we seriously going to be seeing our Social Security checks, you know, die on the vine next month?
Well, this is a different animal, but what I will say, what it has in common with the mortgage crisis, that was the last time that the government colluded with Wall Street to further goals. So the mortgage crisis was all about making houses affordable for everybody, regardless of their credit or their, you know, their history, their ability to repay, anything like that. So this is also getting Wall Street behind a political ideology, and the results of this are different. The results of this are shortages and things that we used to have in abundance, like energy. It goes through to the food industry. So, for example, all the diesel that farms require and fertilizer, which is a derivative of natural gas. So we're seeing inflation. We're seeing the cost of living go up, basic things becoming more unaffordable for Americans. So that is the fallout from this collusion, whereas the fallout from the last collusion was a collapse of our housing market.
So given everything that's going on now, knowing what we know with this multiculturalization, the invasion at the southern border, I don't know that this is a weapon of mass distraction, because we've had callers call on the show and say, you know, a lot of these people that are coming across the border are Catholic and they believe in God. They are taking advantage of an opportunity. I don't think they quite understand that the society they left that was oppressive may turn that way here as a result of this climate change and ESG and all this other garbage. Where do you see the industry in ESG involvement going in the next few years? Is anything going to change for the better?
Well, they have tens of trillions of dollars backing them. This is our money that these investment managers are controlling to control their votes in corporate shareholder meetings. They have the backing of the Biden administration. Just about every agency is pledged now to support the ESG movement. They have the backing of most Western governments. So this is a very formidable force that's pushing ESG. The weaknesses are, as I said, it's illegal. It's illegal under antitrust law. It's also illegal under U.S. civil rights law. Any kind of racial or gender quotas or things that companies do to prejudice against people because of their race or their gender, that's all illegal under civil rights laws. But the other Achilles heel that this movement has is fundamentally it is a central planning effort. It is rather than the market making decisions, these are centrally planned decisions. Those always lead to shortage. They lead to inefficiency. The most glaring case is what we saw in Sri Lanka, where famine, you know, occurred as a result of implementing these ESG policies in that country. We saw the government in Italy shift to the right. In Sweden, we see protests from Dutch farmers now that they're trying to be, you know, forced to shut down and shut down animal farms. So the weakness inherent in the system is that it leads to economic failure. It leads to decline in standards of living. It leads to shortages in the most essential items like energy and food. And so at some point, the population starts to get fed up with it. And I think that could be the Achilles heel of this movement, as well as the fact that a lot of what they're doing is illegal.
So basically, the states answer to the people that live in the states. The people that live in the states, seeing that we face a potential energy and food crisis, which most of my listeners are very well aware of. Action plan. Do you have one?
You know, it's all of the above. So, you know, consumers are going to have to make choices. We still have more than 4,000 banks in the U.S., so many more than the four that are coming from Wall Street. So you can choose a local community bank. You can choose which products you're going to buy. You can support the companies that you think is, you know, have values that you like, or at least are apolitical. We're going to see more action. I think a lot of these states are going to hold the line on their anti-ESG policies. Texas, you know, Utah, Florida certainly seem very strong in supporting that. And I think, you know, we have to vote. We need to get majorities in state and federal governments that are going to enforce U.S. laws and have, you know, loyalty to our Constitution. That's the pledge they make. And that's really what this is about. So it's all of the above. It's going to take everything.
Well, the thing is now we see, you know, they put Dylan Mulvaney on a Bud Light can, and look what's happened to Anheuser-Busch today. An HSBC analyst just downgraded Anheuser-Busch stock from InBev, and I'm looking at this going, hey, they haven't, there's multiple brands that Anheuser-Busch is making, and apparently they feel like, well, we'll just pay our employees some more money and help them out so we don't have internal mutiny going on, because that's what they're facing, because I'm sure a lot of people in Anheuser-Busch don't agree with what they did. And this whole thing started out as something what they thought they were going to cater to a specific segment of the population that turned out it was going to blow up in their face, because they didn't realize that they were going to call Bud Light queer beer at that point in time and start a whole new boycott. Boycott seems to be one of the ways that Americans can send a message to these corporations. Can it not?
Yeah. And so Anheuser-Busch is really just the latest. You know, Disney did the same thing. They fought, you know, Florida, when Florida tried to have a parents' rights law that said don't teach sexual topics to kids in kindergarten through third grade. Seems pretty obvious, pretty popular. Disney decided they wanted to fight that as a family entertainment company. You had Coca-Cola fighting voter ID laws in Georgia. Overwhelmingly across all races and political affiliations, people support voter ID laws. It just seems to make sense. Coca-Cola fought that. They did a survey that found that 30% of the people that they surveyed were less likely to buy Coca-Cola products as a result of this. So time and again, these executives are shooting themselves in the foot. They're hurting the company. They're hurting their sales. They're hurting their shareholders. But for some reason, they just can't resist the pressure. And time and again, they cave. Usually there's an apology that comes after it and backpedaling that turns out to be more embarrassing than not even going into it in the first place. But, you know, also you are starting to see effects of boycotts at the state level. So, for example, the big asset managers, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, were all in on ESG. Vanguard just pulled out of the Net Zero Asset Managers Alliance. And their CEO came out and said there's no evidence whatsoever that ESG does anything positive for investors and that enhances returns in any way. So major insurers are now pulling out of the Net Zero Insurance Alliance because they don't want to be sued over collusion. They're starting to get it, that they are actually behaving in antitrust ways. So we are starting to see a little bit of pushback, and it is starting to have an effect. And some of the financial officers at the state level that I've spoken with said that they're optimistic, that they feel that they're making gains, and it's going to be a long fight as far as they're concerned.
Wow. Yeah. Well, see, the thing is I wonder how many people actually understand when you're talking about environmental, social, governance, and you're talking about three separate ideas contained into one acronym. Environmental being all about climate change and getting rid of fossil fuels and trying to push this wind power, which we know is killing the environment. Solar is not fully developed yet. We just had a guy that narrowly escaped death when his Tesla started rattling like crazy on the freeway and burst into flames. He just barely got out of the car. These cars are not even, as far as electric cars and hybrids, you can't even find a decent charging station. I mean, this whole thing, we're so far ahead of the curve as far as implementing something that the technology is 30 years behind. Then you've got the social aspect of this thing. I mean, stop me if I'm wrong here. The social aspect has everything to do with media control and what we see and hear and think and what how we're told to behave, what we're told to buy, how we're programmed to do certain things that are so convenient as a prelude to CBDC. I mean, this is all on the horizon as part of this whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so this is an umbrella concept, ESG, and they've basically gotten all the progressive causes together and put them under one roof. So it is, it's climate change, it's racial equity, it's gender equity, economic equity worldwide, all the countries should have the same level of prosperity. And they even throw in things like abortion rights and gun control for good measure. So it's an umbrella concept for all of the major causes. But what people need to understand is it's also a multi-trillion dollar industry. It's not just ideology. And the way that this industry works is when you go to invest with your savings, your retirement money, whatever that may be, you don't go and buy shares of GM or Apple or whoever. You buy shares in a fund. You buy a mutual fund or an index fund or something, a pension fund. Those fund managers go, they turn around, they buy the shares, and they own the shares, and they own the voting rights in those shares. So currently, about two-thirds of the shares in all companies are owned by these institutional investors. They're not owned by individual investors. And when you add up BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, their ownership in companies, they are the largest shareholders in 90% of the S&P 500 companies. So that gives them tremendous control over what these companies do. They can vote in board members, they can vote in CEOs, they can vote on policies at company level, whether that's on climate change, whether that's on diversity training, whether that's on fighting parents' rights laws or voter ID laws, whatever. But this is our money. All of these trillions of dollars is our money. It's our savings. It's our pension money that's being used to push this agenda. And it's also being used to take away our vote. We are losing our vote in to elect officials that represent us, that can make choices on policies like energy and social justice that we should have a voice in. And we're also losing our voice as consumers. So the latest initiative coming out of the EPA is trying to, over the next 10 years, prevent automakers from continuing to produce internal combustion engines and force us all to buy EVs. They're not going to ban internal combustion engines nationally. They're just going to say, hey, automakers, you can't make them anymore because of emission standards. So we're losing our voice as consumers as well. And that's why we made this documentary, to explain to people how this system works, what effect it's having on you, but also to say this is not hopeless. There's a lot of pushback, and there's things that people can do to stand up for their rights.
Right. Now, this documentary, the Shadow State, hour and 20-minute long video that's available right now on Epic TV, and those interested in pre-ordering the DVD for release can go to Epic Times or Epic TV and log in and buy the Shadow State documentary to watch and as many times as you want. The thing is that, you know, where can we find your recent article about this particular subject on the Epic Times, as well as other works you've written?
So all of this, the documentary and my work, and I write on this continuously, is available at theepochtimes.com. It's free to all Epic Times subscribers. So if you want to keep up to date on these developments, I write on them continuously. Subscribe to the Epic Times. You get all of this for free.
Now, the thing is that we talked a little bit, and I brought up the fact that this Tesla guy, I mean, Tesla is having nothing but problems with their vehicles and the batteries. We have a company in China that's trying to get Ford to put in this 1 square mile battery plant in Michigan, and Whitmer is endorsing it. I mean, this is all part of this, the bigger picture of some of these states capitulating to this kind of behavior, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a myth that's being pushed that this is a transition to clean energy, and it's anything but. And you must have covered this topic on previous shows, but what it really is, it's a transition from liquid fuel, fossil fuels that we have in abundance in the United States, to mineral-based energy that we have no control over. So all of these batteries and wind turbines and solar panels, they're all made with minerals, whether that's lithium or cobalt or et cetera. These are mined in places like Africa, Chile, China, and China has a virtual monopoly on refining of these minerals. So once they're mined by companies that are controlled by China, they are then shipped back to China to be refined. Then they're shipped to the U.S., where we are have become nothing more than assembly plants. So U.S. automakers are going from making cars soup to nuts to becoming assembly plants for batteries that are all made in China. And we're heavily dependent on China as a result of this policy.
That's sad. And, you know, America, you got to wake up. You're listening to this broadcast. The documentary is called The Shadow State, available right now on Epic TV. For those of you that have been listening to this, if you got any comments, support at thepowerhour.com. We will be back with more news and your phone calls after the bottom of the hour break. Kevin Stockland, thank you so much for joining us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue, formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health, as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
It's Joy Schmiley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sarah enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that. And I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time. Dave Krieger with you here Thursday, May 11, 2023. And I've got the infamous Joyce Riley coffee mug with Knowledge is Power right there. For those of you who want to donate $100 or more, all you have to do is just give us a call. The Power Mall is open right now, 877-817-9829. And with the donation, you get this, right? And of course, now if you shop on the Partners tab, I don't know if you are aware of this, there may be some confusion about it. But when you shop on the Partners tab, when you go to thepowerhour.com and you click on the Partners tab, if you buy anything through the Partners tab, not going directly to them, but if you buy through the Partners tab, and of course, I'll cover that about going directly to the partner, all right? If you go directly to the website, you have to mention the Power Hour to them when you're on the phone with them talking about it, and then you need to let us know whether you shop through the Partners tab or whether you call them directly. You need to let us know you did that so we can get credit for your purchase. We've had some people buy some very high-ticket items, and nobody knows anything about it. We don't get credit for it, and that's what keeps us on the air, folks. So just so you know, we hope you're signing up if you have internet access for our newsletter, because we have newsletter tabs on thepowermall.com and thepowerhour.com, which you click on that and you can subscribe so you don't miss anything. That's the most important thing, is not having the information. Or as Dr. Evil and Austin Powers would say, need the info. So a lot of people do. You want to stay informed. You want to analyze what is going on in the world. You don't want to get it from mainstream media. We get enough of that. I watch a lot of the channels. just to make sure, you know, we can sift through the garbage, because we're extremely critical, you know, sitting here watching what's going on, watching what the mainstream media says. It's kind of like that Leslie Nielsen movie where he's standing there where the building is exploding and fire people are running around and he's going, pay no attention, there's nothing to see here. It's like, okay, you know, how much more are we going to believe that nonsense? Phone lines are open, by the way, 844-769-2944. If you have anything to comment on, like this debt ceiling garbage, the fact your Social Security checks could be impacted. Yeah. See, this is the thing. Data provided by the Social Security Administration, $1 trillion in payments to about 67 million people. And that is literally the baby boomers and people who are 62 years of age and older that are actually drawing Social Security. And you're going to get a check this month, but next month, if the government doesn't do something, you see, this is the reason why the administration is out there putting this ballyhoo out, trying to scare people. You've got to call your congressperson and say, hey, you need to raise the debt limit so I can get my Social Security check. See, the reason we're faced with all of this garbage, for those of you not in the know, is because our Congress, bunch of whores, spending money like a drunken sailor, money they don't have to spend. You see, part of the party that's in there, the party of the first part, wants to get the party of the second part to capitulate and say, hey, if you're going to raise the debt ceiling, we have to get rid of some of this excess spending. And you see, the Social Security Administration had a supposedly a separate fund where all of this is going to get invested in, that it would rely on to make our Social Security payments every month to those of you who have filed to collect them. Already, we've had a bunch of people have their Medicare payments and Medicaid payments slashed because the fact that the emergency has ended today, so to speak. Rebecca Terrell was just on the show telling you that even though the pandemic emergency is declared over, the hospital protocols killing people in hospitals that are still affected by this is not over. And that's going to continue, all this incentivized payments to the hospitals. I don't feel a bit sorry for any of these hospitals now, because they're all making money off your loved one's death. And if you don't believe me, just ask Scott Shara about his daughter, Grace. And see, they didn't kill her because of remdesivir. They killed her because they gave her a drug combo cocktail of Presidex, Ativan, and morphine. And that cocktail killed the daughter. And the phony DNR they filed, which was against Wisconsin law, you know, instead, and this is the mistake so many of us make, instead of calling somebody like the hospital hotline and Graith Care and these others that Rebecca talked about, you face imminent death being admitted into a hospital with any kind of an issue where they can all of a sudden, oh, let's test them for COVID. And they're going to stick one of these phony PCR tests up your nose. They could literally do a blood sample, and they could look at your blood and see whether or not it's stacked or not. They could ask you a simple question about, have you had a vaccine? And you would know immediately they're talking about the jab. And if you haven't had the jab, then it's, you know, they're all of a sudden, their attitude changes. And all of a sudden, you're like an intruder into their space. And you end up like Nicole Sapp's father, a practicing doctor in the hospital, who the charge nurse is like, he's going to get what he deserves because he didn't get the jab. Now they have an excuse to make money off you. See, they get paid when they say your loved one has COVID. We need to start paying attention to this, folks, because that's just the start of it. Because what happened to Grace Shara, they restrained her. That's what we call four-point. That's one of the 15 things I've mentioned on the show that could happen to your loved one. Besides the phony PCR test they stick up your nose, which they've already had recalls on those too. Some of these PCR tests are phony and they have bacteria in them. And if you come in contact with the fluid in the test kit, all of a sudden you've been contaminated. This is how dangerous this stuff is and why you can't believe in modern medicine anymore. I certainly don't. There are people that literally, even if you go in for just to see your doctor, you risk issues. I mean, we just had a caller in Ohio, John. It just, you know, he went to his dentist and his dentist says, you're going to die. You know, why is it dentists are taking your blood pressure now? Is it CYA covering your assets? Is that what this is all about? Why all of a sudden do they have such an interest in your blood pressure? You know, it's like, oh, we can't use gas on you anymore. We got to use Novocaine on you because we have people that are allergic to nitrous oxide. I mean, my dentist overdid it to me in the chair one day when I was in Kansas. I used to live there and put gas on me. And man, I thought I went to hell. I was getting visions. I was seeing stuff and he was literally having to shake me out of my, it's like, you might want to give me oxygen, sir. I think you overdid it on the gas. You know, because all of a sudden you're just like going way down deep in your subconscious and having visions that aren't normal. You know, this is the sort of stuff that now they're worried about because of all the fact that we live in a litigious society and dentists are getting sued, doctors are getting sued. That's why my PI attorney in LA says, yeah, what do you call a physician in a suit, a defendant? You know, they're afraid of getting sued. Well, Scott Schar's lawsuit is just the beginning of this. If you have any questions or comments about any of the stuff we're talking about, phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. If you live on the border or anywhere near the border and you're seeing any of the blowback and things that are going on because of the invasion that's happening right now and you want to comment, hey, we welcome your phone call. Let us know what's going on the front line. You may be living in states where these migrants are being sent here and you've seen the result of that. You want to talk about that? That's why the phone lines are open to let us know what's going on. New Foreign Malign Influence Center. Have you heard about that? They want to make sure that any organization that's out there putting out disinformation comes to the alert of the federal government. These are dedicated. There's offices dedicated to fighting foreign disinformation, springing up like daisies from the Pentagon's new Influence and Perception Management Office to at least four organizations inside the DHS, as well as ones inside the FBI and the State Department. These arose in response to concerns about the impact of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, but now have expanded. The Director of National Intelligence has created a new office. Wow. This is just totally crazy what's going on. The Foreign Malign Influence Center in the intelligence community. Yeah. So anyway, Intercept Inquiry, basically, this is the FMIC we're talking about, Foreign Malign Influence Center. Congress put into law that we should establish this center in the intelligence community. And, of course, we're arguing about this. This deals with disinformation more generally. Just wait till this starts getting down to the grassroots level. And they start coming after human beings on social media. Crazy, isn't it? Wow. So what else is happening out there? The surveillance state? Here's something of interest. The government is turning America into a constitution-free zone, believe it or not. Understand that. Here's a quote for you. There are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom by the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. Remember who said that? Trivia, James Madison, President of the United States way back when. How far would you really go to secure the nation's borders in the so-called name of national security? Would you give government limitless amounts of money? Surround the entire country with concrete walls and barbed wire? Erect a high-tech virtual wall of AI-powered surveillance cameras and drones that does a better job of imprisoning those within its boundaries than keeping intruders out? Empower border police to trample on the rights of anybody who crosses their path, including citizens that have a right to be here legally? Relinquish some of your freedoms in exchange for elusive promise of non-porous borders? Submit to a national ID card that allows the government to target individuals and groups as it chooses in order to identify those who don't belong here? turn a blind eye to private prisons and detainment camps that profit off the forced labor of its detainees? Would you turn your backs on every constitutional principle for which our founders fought and died for in exchange for empty campaign promises of elusive safety by fast-talking politicians? This is the devil's bargain the U.S. government demands of its people. These devilish deals have been foisted upon we the people before. And every decade or so, the government makes the case for expanding its wartime powers and curtailing the citizenry's freedom in the war on terrorism, the war on drugs, the war on whatever. Communism, foreigners, extremism, dissidents, peace activists, parents showing up at school board meetings. Anti-government speech for the sake of national security. All the American people. My little sheep there, my feeble sheep. The sheeple, they all fall in line. The government wants us to buy into the fiction its war on illegal immigrants is so necessary for national security. We should be grateful when roving bands of Border Patrol agents flexing their muscles far beyond the nation's borders exercise the right to disregard the Constitution at every turn. Except the Border Patrol cops aren't just disregarding the Constitution. And that's why we have surveillance state. And that's why we have that posted on our email blast that you'll be getting in your inbox, because it's an article by John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute that you should read in its entirety, talking about these zones 100 miles in from the border. And this is where they're roaming, looking for people. And if you happen to be within that 100-mile zone all the way across the entire southern strip of the U.S., you may find yourself being pulled over and your privacy being invaded for no reason, because you look suspicious. Wow, we told you about the so lucky to be alive California guy that narrowly escaped his Tesla as it caught fire on the highway. He's out just for a weekend drive, and all of a sudden the bloody car started to shake and caught fire, and he got out of the car just in time. If you need another reason to steer clear of electric vehicles, a recent social media post about the cost to repair one particular model might do the trick. A Rivian electric pickup truck produced by a popular startup company whose customers have been known to wait up to 3 to 4 years for delivery of their new vehicle. Well, one of its owners was hit with a $42,000 bill after a minor fender bender, something that doesn't add up. The Rivian R1T has a base price of $73,000. Yeah. In a recent Facebook post in the Rivian group, Chris Appelstadt shared his experience with getting his EV repaired after a minor fender bender. In early February, he says, I was rear-ended in my R1T. No airbags went off, and the collision was at a relatively low speed. The other driver asked what kind of car I was driving. My response was the, quote, the kind that is going to piss off your insurance company. He hastened to add that he'd just been making a joke, or so he thought. They both laughed. I told her about the brand, according to Appelstadt. After finishing errands, Bishal Mala was driving home when he suddenly felt his Tesla shake. He decided to stop just before getting on Highway 99 south of Modesto. Out of concern, he got out of the car to look at the matter. First, he thought he had a flat tire, but his surprise, he found something much more serious. The moment he opened the door, he saw smoke coming from underside. The car was soon fully engulfed in a battery fire. This has happened in other high-profile incidents involving Elon Musk Tesla cars. Currently unclear how it started. The fire department battalion chief, Robert Kasparian, told the local news outlet the fighting that electric vehicle fires can be particularly difficult. The issue with electric vehicles is the access to the batteries. They're what's causing the enormous amount of heat buildup. Since 2013, there have been 182 Tesla fire incidents worldwide, 98 of them taking place here in the U.S. Wow. There's a website, Tesla Fire, devoted to tracking Tesla vehicle fires, if you wanted to know. I found an interesting article, or rather my lovely wife did, 11 best vegetables for chickens. And she shared it with me, and I downloaded it, and I went, oh, man, these guys are going to love it. My hens have been going bonkers over half the stuff I've been feeding them now. Chickens are known for being scavengers, eating most anything. If they're left on a patch of ground for too long, they'll strip it bare. It's easy to think then they could get tired of processed feed. If you're looking to spice up your chickens' diets, we are enclosing a list of the top 11 veggies that are not only nutritious and healthy, but taste amazing as far as your birds go. Yep. Those mine just sit at the gate. When I come out there to give them their flock party, man, they are this mealworms and whatnot. I also go to my garden in my greenhouse and pick a bunch of greens for them. And those of you out there that say, wait a minute, I don't have internet access. You got to tell me what to feed my hens. Okay, I'll tell you. Lettuce, believe it or not. The crisp vegetable has high levels of potassium, iron, and water content. They like fresh water. So it's got antioxidants, fibers, calcium in it. So lettuce is a good thing. If you have any leftover lettuce that looks like it's starting to go and you don't want to eat it, don't throw it away. Your hens will love it. Broccoli is another addition. It aids in their eye health. It's excellent for improving and maintaining their heart health while supporting the immune system. They love eating broccoli, especially all the stems and the parts you don't want to eat. Beets. I gave mine. I got some beets at the store yesterday because a lot of the beets in the store, they're crap. They have sugar in them. Lots of it. Salt. God knows what else. I mean, you look at the ingredients and preservatives. Better off buying fresh beets. Now, the beets come with these giant stalks. Well, I cut off, I leave about 3 inches of stalk on the beets to keep them fresh before I peel them and boil them or steam them, and I get fresh beets that way. But then you take the rest of the stalk, cut it up into pieces, put it in a bag, take it out to the chicken coop. And I did this yesterday, and I mean, they went crazy. They absolutely loved it, man. They, within the hour, they had that whole bag of beet stems and leaves processed. Man, they ate that up. These beets contain antioxidants and may regulate blood sugar levels. Squash, also, for those of you who have squash leaves and stuff out there, it's a reliable source. Even if you have leftover pieces of the squash, throw it out there. I throw it out there with the melons, with the pineapple, all of that stuff. Corn contains vitamin C and E. Anything left over from the stalks, you know, from the actual cobs themselves, chickens will eat it. Cucumbers, another thing they love. You like to strip off the green part and just eat the inside? Give them the green part. They love that. Same with carrots. Anytime you can chop up carrots and peel the carrots, give them the carrot peelings. Hens love it. They elevate the levels of beta carotene in their system and strengthen and improve bone health in your hens. Kale is another thing. You eat it, but hey, guess what? It has vitamins K and B and folate and omega-3 fatty acids. They love that too. Cabbage, by the way, also they love. We buy the cabbage whole, cut it up, and throw what we're not going to use out in the hen house, and they go crazy. Peas are another great source of vitamin E and C, along with zinc. But this leguminous vegetable reduces inflammation, may improve and maintain immune health. Same with spinach. Any leftover of that, they love it. Even the stems you cut off, if you're making a spinach salad, take the rest of it out to the greenhouse, to the hen house. Don't throw it out. It's a superfood. That's one of the reasons why we talk about stuff like that, folks. 11 best veggies for your chicken. In the health category, did you know that soft contact lenses in the U.S. are made up of PFASs, according to the latest research? Yeah, containing high levels of organic fluorine. That's a marker for forever chemicals, folks. The FDA, by the way, has now approved gene-edited pigs for human consumption. Yep, a sausage at Washington State University has made history. It contains gene-edited pig parts. German-style sausages. Better look at the labels now, folks, before you go buying any of this stuff. Plastic. Discarded plastics make up 18.5% of landfills and 90% of all trash entering the world's oceans. Did you know that, you know, those little Keurig plastic cups, if you can't burn them up before you throw them in the garbage, takes 500 years up to, according to studies, for that thing to biodegrade? 500 years. Wow. Jackfruit. We have an article on that. Packing a walloping amount of nutrition. One cup has protein, fat, fiber, magnesium, potassium, and vitamin C. We also have the chart on the nonprofit hospitals and CEOs racking up huge pandemic profits. A lot of what Rebecca Terrell talked about on her show today. Yep. And by the way, there's a story on there about Buddy Holly. He's a pet. A petite basset griffin, then deemed, named best in show at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, Buddy Holly. You gotta love that. And also a story about a man building his dream home out of two retired airplane jets for $250,000. Read it when you get the email blast. In the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow for a Feel Good Friday edition. Dave Krieger with you. Take care. Stay safe. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.